Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Thank you so much for sticking through. I know everyone's hungry for lunch, so am I. Hopefully, this will be a solid one, after which you think you will need a break. Super glad that you are still like up and alive. Sweet guys, I think to get into it, I sort of like wanted to talk about this upcoming thing called Intents, which is supposed to sort of like change how we interact with chains going forward. And a bunch of like projects are starting to look at it in a pretty deep level, including people at Uniswap, CowSwap, and a bunch of like other protocols. So I just wanted to chat about an upcoming proposal there and talk through some of the design choices that have been made and why those might not be right and how could we potentially fix it. This is not a diss track. This, like, I'm using the EIP or ERC as like a sort of like a channel to talk about this stuff, not really talking about this specific implementation, right? I work at Socket, I'm Vaibhav, also go by VC. You can find me after the talk. But if you want to check out the exact proposal I'm talking about here, there's a quick QR code. I think this is by Mark Tura from Uniswap. And this is what Uniswap is going to be using for their cross-chain swap stuff, generally speaking. I think we always begin this topic with what really are intents, right? Unfortunately, that is something I don't want to get into for this particular doc, right? It always sort of like goes into like something you don't want to get into, right? But I think broadly speaking, you want to do something on chain, you specify it, someone else takes care of it. That's like the rough mental model you can have in mind. And this is different than transactions, because in transactions, you sort of like send a transaction on chain saying exactly what you want to do. But here, you just talk about the end goal you want to achieve, and someone else sort of like takes care of the execution. That's like roughly how to think about it. So I'm going to talk about like a particular sort of like design pattern here. Goals of this particular ERC, 7683, are about how do we make it such that fillers aren't fragmented. This probably doesn't make sense right away, so let me give you guys a quick like walkthrough about what really is happening here. So you see a nice farmer emoji there. That is our normal blockchain user today, who is sort of like signing something that looks like a struct, where he's sort of like talking about what chains he want to go between, what's the input asset, what's the output asset, things like that, right? And he sort of like signs this stuff and sends it on-chain to a particular settlement contract on some source network, where a bunch of like these robots, these bots sort of like look up to this source chain contract for what are pending intents that need to be filled, right? And then they sort of like fill it on the destination. And then there's a oracle that sort of lets the settlement contract on source chain know that, hey, the request that you had has been fulfilled by this particular bot on destination, right? So really simple. User sends funds on source, the bots fill it on the destination, and then the oracle sort of like conveys the message that, you know, things are done, really. I think filler fragmentation starts here, right? So now we have two structs, which basically means like now we have like two intent protocols. The only difference between the first one and the second one is that the second one has an extra parameter called call data. Let's assume everything else is the same. This is the only difference, right? Due to which now we have these two separate contracts. And earlier, while we had like eight fillers, solving for this particular intent protocol. As soon as we have two intent protocols, these are now split in two, right? As more and more intent protocols go live, sort of like fillers get fragmented because they need to do more work, they need to do more integrations and stuff like that, right? Super annoying stuff. This is harmful for everyone. Not exactly harmful, but like really undesirable, specifically because there aren't too many fillers anyway in the space, right? There are probably like 15 to 20 entities that are sort of like operating in this particular role. And if you sort of like start fragmenting those, we don't know where we'll end up, right? So we want competition over here. So we want as many fillers as possible. So fragmentation is something we want to avoid here. Fragmentation is bad for all three of these parties. It's bad for the user, because if people aren't competing, you're going to get the worst possible price, right? It's and if you don't have like an intent standard, then you don't actually understand what you are signing. So someday you might sign something that gives someone authority to pull all of your funds away forever, right? So you know, like chances of rug pull. We hear about phishing attacks with like permit to witnesses all the time, right? So we want to like standardize on this layer for sure. It's bad for intent protocols because we had eight fillers. You launch an intent protocol, and you have to like sort of bribe four of them to sort of like port over to your thing. And then as more and more of these protocols launch, it becomes even more expensive. Because these fillers aren't commoditized. They are sort of like specialized. And you have to like get into like specific agreements with them and whatnot. So ideally, you want to commoditize and have a lot of fillers. So you have high competition. If you launch an intent protocol, you have fillers for your user requests. And for fillers, they just want access to more order flow without doing a lot of work. So as a, like, just put on your market maker hat. What you want to do is, like, if there's an opportunity out there, I have capital, I want access to that opportunity for the least amount of work possible. So I think all in all, it sounds highly beneficial that we should like standardize this part of the layer for all three of these parties. And that's what the CIP is trying to do. The ideal world is where I launch a new intent protocol and all fillers start filling on my protocol on day one with like close to zero effort. That's the ideal world. That's the world the CIP is trying to take us to. Again, put your market maker hat on. Imagine you are participating in one of these intent-based protocols. How does a filler decide to fill? Like, what is the decision tree on their end, right? You receive an intent. The first thought you have, or the first thing your program does is, do I understand this order type? And like, how do I interact with it, with this particular on-chain contracts and stuff like that? Like, really like generic interpretation. Second is like, do I understand how does this particular protocol work? Can I fill for it? Stuff like that. So users and fillers are sort of like entities on both ends. And we need to give them like a way to sort of like communicate. Think about it like sending a Morse code, right? Like you are stuck somewhere and you're trying to send like a Morse code through to someone so that they can come and rescue you. You want to make sure they understand your Morse code. Otherwise, you're sending signals. They just think it is like a faulty bulb or something like that, right? So you want to make sure your signal can be understood and interpreted correctly. And you also don't want to be in situations where you're sending something like, hey, I have an apple, but what they interpret it as, I have a bomb, right? That's also a bad place to be in. So this interpretation needs to be on point, especially in this context because we are talking about financial contracts. Wrongful interpretation here means you lose money. So this is the first thing that you think about as a filler. Can I interpret this thing? Okay. The second thing you think about, can I fulfill? Meaning if the user is saying, hey, I have some Aave over here. If the user is saying, I have 100 Aave over here, give me like 200 Aave on this chain. This is something that is simply not possible. Or like, why would you give anyone free money unless you're getting more free money down the lane via some airdrop or something? So after you interpret, you just make sure you can fulfill what the user is asking for. Basically, sort of like making sure you understand the terms and conditions and you are like opting into it. All right. So once you interpret, you understand the terms and condition, now you are like, okay, how much am I going to make on this thing? And do I participate on this thing or not? So now you start calculating profit, loss, and all of those things. So this is like how a market maker or a filler will sort of like think about your intent as they sort of like flow through. This is going to be like super important as we go about this stuff. So I think if you think about it, like why does filler fragmentation like exist on a deeper level? So every sort of like order or intent is basically like a shared language between a user and a filler. How many languages do people in this room know? I think I know maybe like 4. I don't think anyone in this room knows above 20. So I think it's like hard for us to like think that fillers will know 20, 25 different like intent protocols, because those are also sort of like shared languages. And as I mentioned before, right, these are like financial contracts, and misunderstandings have a financial cost attached to it. If you sort of like assume that this person wanted $1 million, but you send $10 million, you are now down $9 million, right? So a misunderstanding here has a financial cost. So you want to make sure you're interpreting and your shared language is tight. I think as a filler in this space, once you have your strategy, once you have your capital, you spend most amount of your time sort of understanding how different protocols work and how you integrate with them and stuff like that. Now we are finally getting to the EIP itself, right? If you think about it is just a translator. Everything in sort of pink is standardized by the EIP, and everything in green is sort of open for developers to build on. So as a user, you send a cross-chain order. This settler contract, it sort of like translates it into a resolved cross-chain order, which is standardized, so that all fillers get the same resolved cross-chain order. So this thing acts like a translator, sort of. What's inside a settlement contract, like the thing in the middle in the last slide? It receives a cross-chain order. It sort of like has defined interfaces to receive the order, but then it's open for developers to interpret it however they want. And then devs can do like whatever they want in the settlement contract, and then they sort of like emit standardized events across the board, right? Which include the resolved cross-chain order that the fillers trust as like source of truth, almost. From a filler point of view, right? Consider this intent protocol one that is 7683 compatible, right? So there is a cross-chain order that goes in, and you can see a resolved cross-chain order on the other side that exactly matches. Now, I built another intent protocol that is also 7683 compatible, but the devs did something on this one. What they did was, now, if you look at the cross-chain order and the resolved cross-chain order, you will notice that the destination chain ID has been manipulated. So in the cross-chain order, the two chain ID was 137, versus in the resolved cross-chain order, the destination chain is 420. Because the devs did something. What they did was they interpreted incorrectly. So now the filler thinks that he's supposed to fill on chain 420, but actually the user wanted funds on 137. So now the filler is in a tough spot. Even if he executes the intent, he will never get fulfilled or never get his money back. This is basically because I think the protocol is like too generic and gives developers or like this settler contract too much power, and fillers don't get any assurances of like what exactly can happen in the middle over here. The core issue is fillers can't trust data from like these unauthenticated contracts. They have to go and sort of like audit, read each of these settler contracts. These contracts in the middle, these are called settler contracts in the ERC. They have to go and understand each of them, and only then they will accept data from it. So ideally, the goal was to be able to work with just standardized resolved orders, which you can find on that bottom there, resolved cross-chain order. Idea was like all fillers will be able to work with this, but not really. People have to, like fillers have to understand the resolved cross-chain order as well as the settler contract for them to actually start filling this stuff, right? So we are sort of like, again, in our present world where fillers are fragmented by like different intent protocols, which is the world we are trying to avoid. So I think like getting to potential solutions, right? Otherwise, I'm just like complaining on the stage for the last like 15 minutes. Some potential solutions to this is that we sort of have this like giant black box in the middle called settler contract we sort of like break it down into smaller modules, modules that provide sort of some guarantees to fillers on whatever settlement that they want to operate with, right? So we sort of like break down this like big giant black box that developers can do anything with into smaller standardized modules. One such module could be a standard escrow implementation. Idea is, like, imagine this smart contract, really, really simple smart contract. You put in funds with a key and with a time lock, and you attach an Oracle with it. Now, funds can leave this lockbox either when the timeout happens or when the Oracle asks to sort of like withdraw. So your trust model as a user is like very well defined, and as a filler as well. You know if the funds have reached the lockbox, they are going to be unlocked for the user in 2 hours, but you can unlock them via the Oracle for the next like 2 hours or like whatever the time limit is. And this gives you like really strong guarantees now, and you don't have to like care about what the settlement contract does as long as funds reach the lockbox and you have the ability to build the right key. I'm planning to write a little bit more about this, potentially another EIP building on top of 7683, but I think generally what I wanted to convey with this entire sort of like topic was intents are going to be super important. Intents are going to be the way we interact on chain. Intents are going to be the thing that you see on your MetaMask when you sort of like go and sign something. So it's super important for us to sort of have a shared language around it and for that shared language to be accurate. I'll be collaborating with a bunch of people in the space. Find me elsewhere and super happy to chat about it. But yeah, that's basically it. Thank you so much.
Good stuff, Vaibhav. So we got a few questions. If you want to ask more questions, you can scan the QR, send them up, and they will show up automatically. But the first question that'll come up slowly on screen is to ask is that should cross-chain intents more explicitly include execution of arbitrary call data on the receiving chain on the level of the ERC spec?
I think like highly debatable. And we should sort of like debate about it. I think this as a use case generally makes sense. I would be in favor, but I think there are arguments for not doing it as well. So I don't have a super strong opinion.
Okay, next question. Can we ever move away from the reputation-based system for solvers fillers? Do Across, Socket, et cetera, currently actually slash their fillers or punish them?
I think the cool thing about this stuff is that it's quite different from all the consensus-based models that we have seen in interop before. How interop used to work before was you would send money into a smart contract, you would have a bunch of validators, and those validators would be your truth oracle in some sense, and then they would give you funds on the destination. So you would trust this consensus or this like validator set to give you funds on destination. And that's when like slashing and staking, all of that became important, because if not, they would run away with your funds. But why this thing is cool, why intents are cool, is that you don't have to trust the validator set anymore. And there is no need for like slashing or anything like that. You send your funds, they will either get fulfilled in the next 2 hours or you'll simply get your funds back. And this is assured by smart contracts on chain. So it's pretty cool in that general sense.
Okay. So is it not possible to create the translation code for the different intent protocol languages?
I'm bearish on it. I feel like standardization in this like intent world needs to happen like bottom up rather than top down, because the application space is like as wide as basically any smart contract ever built. So I find it like super hard to sort of go top down when standardizing and talking about intents. I think my current best bet would be having some sort of like intent DSL, like think EVM, but for building intents, something like that, standardized at that generic level, maybe that makes sense. But I would honestly like go bottom up, build like standardized escrows, build like standardized proof systems, and sort of have these Legos available for developers to combine and build their intent protocols, instead of having like a standardized intent and everything else below that is a black box.
All right. One more question that just came in. Instead of the lockbox, couldn't we have a user signature on the intent and an off-chain mechanism that verifies that the intent output is intact via that signature.
Yeah, I think the purpose of Logbox is like slightly different. Purpose of Logbox isn't to sort of like prove that you got exactly what you wanted on destination. That's the job of the Oracle. Oracle is your truth finder in this sort of scenario. I think Oracle is just to give assurance to fillers and users that if funds enter this particular contract, they will exit only in these two conditions. And based on that, you can sort of like simulate stuff and have a guarantee that if funds are entering this contract is not poisonous. And you can interact with it pretty much like how you do with ERC-20s today. Even with ERC-20s, you can have like weird poisonous ERC-20s, ERC-20s that charge fees on transfers. But because we can do simulations on it, you know that, you know, like if you send 100 USDC, your balance is decreasing by 100 and someone else's balance is increasing by 100. So you can see like there's nothing poisonous there. I think if you have something like an escrow there, you can simulate and see that, hey, funds are reaching my escrow with the right key. So no matter what is happening with the settlement or with the settler contract, I don't have to be worried that it's poisonous or something like that.
Okay, probably the last question just popped up. If solvers take the risk of finality, how can we get high security insurances with cross-chain transfers priced at a few cents? Is it sustainable?
Super solid question. I think it is not sustainable if you don't have a lot of fillers. That's why we need a shit ton of fillers. If you have more fillers, you have more competition, then I am quite bullish that we'll have people with capital fighting for pennies, and our cross-chain transfers can remain like fairly cheap.
Cool.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.